So let's turn to Numbers then, shall we? And we've read from chapter 9. Can we add a few verses then from chapter 10? So let's turn to Numbers and chapter 10. And we'll turn to verses 11 and 12 and 13 firstly. And then we'll go down to verse 33. So we'll look at chapter 9. I just want to add a few more verses at this point. So Numbers 10 and verse 11. So it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony. And so it was the children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai on their journeys. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. So they started out for the first time according to the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And then verse 33, so they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them for the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. And so it was, whenever the ark set out, that Moses would cry out, "Rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you run from you." And whenever the ark came to rest, he would cry out and say, "Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel." So that's Numbers 9, Numbers 10. Let's ask God to help us then as we turn to his word. Lord, we thank you then for the story of Moses. And we spent our Sundays last year looking at his birth, his upbringing in the palace of the Pharaohs. We saw him, our God, leave that all behind to become the Redeemer of the Hebrew people. Lord, we followed the story to Mount Sinai, where Moses went up and down that mountain to meet with you, our God, and then to come to speak to the people. We've seen the story of the plagues, the crossing of the Red Sea. Lord, we've seen Moses being given the Ten Commandments, and the people then build a golden calf and celebrate it as Moses was delayed on the top of the mountain. Lord, as we take up the story of Moses again then, we ask you to help us and to speak to us. Lord, our minds can so often feel so tired on a Sunday at the point when we are in the service and it comes to the sermon. It's almost spooky the way our minds can grow so tired and our bodies feel so heavy. So, our God, we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit, that he would cut through any tiredness or cloudiness or even spiritual resistance. And may he, our God, bring your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So we're going to pick up the story of Moses then, as Moses is given the command by God to set up camp and leave Mount Sinai and get on with their journey to Canaan. Moses and the Hebrews have been 1 year at Mount Sinai. And during that year, they have built the tabernacle, the testimony, if you wish, that building that will serve as their meeting place where God will meet with them. They have built the Ark of the Covenant in which they will place the Ten Commandments. That year has been spent getting ready for the journey. God has organized the Hebrews into a nation. They have leaders, they have priests, they have sacrifices, they've got laws that they are to follow. So everything's ready for them to leave Mount Sinai and to begin this journey to the Promised Land. You have the book of Numbers, and it's called Numbers because at the start of the book, they have a census. They count how many Israelites there are. So the first chapters of the book of Numbers are a record of the different families and how many people make up the nation of Israel. And then at the end of the book of Numbers, they do exactly the same. They have the second census. Now, we're all used to the idea of a census. There's one every 10 years in our nation. Well, the book of Numbers then begins and ends with this census. So what we're going to see today is not how they begin the journey, but what that journey is going to look like. So if you turn with me to Numbers 9 and Numbers 10, you'll see there this idea that the ark is going to lead the way. So at the front of the column of the Hebrews as they journey, there is the Ark of the Covenant, that symbol of God himself. And then you've got this reference to the cloud and to the fire. We've seen that before. You had the pillar of cloud and fire that led them from Egypt and across the Red Sea and to Mount Sinai. So there's a change now. It's not so much a pillar of fire and cloud. It's linked to the ark, to this structure that contains the Ten Commandments. It contains a few other things. It's going to be led by the priests as they are in front, and so the people will follow. And you may have got the sense, as we read from Numbers 9 and Numbers 10, that the cloud will be, if you like, linked to the ark. So the cloud will be leading them along with the ark. And when then the cloud seems to settle down, that's where they'll stop on their journey. And as long as the cloud remains on the ark, then they'll stay put. They'll only journey when the cloud rises and the ark is taken up by the priests and off they go. So the people of the Hebrews then are going to follow the cloud and the ark. But what I want you to notice specifically today is what we are told in chapter 10. So will you turn to those verses then at the end of chapter 10? So you get a rough idea of what I'm describing today. The details aren't particularly clear. Chapter 9 says the same thing over and over again about the cloud and the ark. It's a bit difficult to follow, but what I want you to get a sense of is what we are told at the end of chapter 10. So let's read those verses again if we can. Chapter 10, verse 33. So they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a three-day journey, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them for that 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. So the idea is the Ark's in the front and they would journey. And then, if you like, the Ark would then find a suitable place for them to rest. So don't forget now, we know the number of the people of the Hebrews. They're a huge number. So this ark has to find a spot suitable for a vast multitude of people to spend the night, to rest for a few days. So this ark searches out these resting places. And when it finds one, then the cloud would descend, the ark would rest, and the people would sit. But can you notice verse 34 of Numbers 10? Now the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. And so it was whenever the ark set out, Moses said. Now here's what I want to underline, if I can today. This cloud wasn't just above the ark. The cloud was above the entire nation of the Hebrews as they journeyed. So if you imagine yourself as a Hebrew, you would be there in this great company of God's people. You're marching to the land of Canaan. And if you looked up, above you would be the cloud of the presence of God. And that cloud would stretch across the sky, covering the entire Hebrew nation. Now, if you think of that for a moment, you're going to appreciate why, aren't you? Because they're journeying through the desert. And at some point in the journey, Moses will indicate to you the sun and its strength, the heat of the day, the burning nature of the desert. But sure, from the get-go, as they journey, however old or young they are, there is above their heads this thick cloud that symbolizes the presence of God. And that cloud then, in a way that we only get an idea of, when it comes to the end of the day, that cloud would then gather itself together and it would then come over the ark and then settle down at the place where the people of God would meet. They were covered for the entirety of the day by the cloud of the presence of God. And I'm sure we can all get a sense of why that would be so important for the Hebrew people. So that's what we are being told here then. So they set out after this year of waiting at Mount Sinai. If you want to read the details for yourself, you can read in chapter 9 how the trumpets sound, and there's this tremendous ceremony that takes place, and then they set off on their journey, covered by this cloud. And then Moses, he's at the front there, and you can see at the end of chapter 10, at the end of the day, when he saw the cloud gathering itself around the ark, he would shout out. And then at the start of the day, when that cloud would lift itself off the ark and fill the sky, he would shout out, "Rise up, O Lord, and scatter your enemies." Now that's the scene. And do you remember, when we've looked before at the story of Moses, we do so in order to find Jesus Christ. And how are we going to find Jesus Christ in this picture of the Hebrews setting out on their journey with a great cloud above them, that cloud of the presence of God? Well, what I'd like you to do is turn to the New Testament, because the New Testament will teach us how to read passages like this and find Jesus Christ. So I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. The Apostle Paul has this picture very much in mind when he writes these words. So we'll turn to them, 1 Corinthians 10. But before we do so, just remind yourself of who Paul is writing to in this letter. He's not writing to Jews, Hebrews, who've come to faith in Christ. He's writing to Greeks in the Roman Empire who've become Christians. So they don't have a knowledge of the Old Testament. They may or may not know about Moses and the journey through the desert. But listen to what Paul says to them in 1 Corinthians 10 and the first few verses. "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Now, can you see what he's saying there? To this Greek Gentile congregation, he's saying to them that Moses and the Hebrews were their fathers. That what happened to Moses and the Hebrews is for us. It's the same for us as that which happened to them. So take a look at verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 10. All these things happened to them as examples to us, and they were written, these things about Moses and the cloud and the journey, they were written for our encouragement, upon whom the end of the ages have come. So Paul is saying to the Corinthian church and to us that we look at the story of Moses and the cloud and the ark and the journey. And from that story, we take encouragement. We learn lessons. And what's the great lesson that Paul is referring to in chapter 10? Well, here again, from the beginning of the chapter. They all ate the same spiritual food as we do. They all drank the same spiritual drink. And here's the point. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that idea includes the cloud, and that rock was Christ. So what Paul is telling us in chapter 10 is, starting with the cloud that was above the heads of the Hebrews, as they journeyed then, and we may see this on a Sunday, they would come to points where there was no water to drink, and so God would provide water for them from the rock. There would be no food for them to eat, so God would provide food for them, the manna and the quails. We may see that on a Sunday. Whether it's cloud, whether it's rock, whether it's water, whether it's food, all of that, says Paul, is Christ. And so when we turn to the story of Moses and we think of a journey, and we think that the cloud was above the heads of the Hebrews, we say to ourselves, that cloud is Christ. We are under him. He protects us and watches over us as we ourselves journey to our own land of promise, the land of Canaan. So Paul is encouraging his audience in the church at Corinth to put themselves in the shoes of the Hebrews and to see Christ in their experience. So in chapter 10, Paul will go on and talk about the fact that the Hebrew people, with this cloud protecting them from the sun and the heat, they would still complain, they would still murmur against God. They would be bitter in the accusations against God. They would look back to Egypt and wish that they'd never set out on the journey. They would complain against Moses time and time again. Paul will say in this chapter, don't be like them. With most of them, God wasn't well pleased, and they died in the wilderness. Don't be like them. Because it's Christ who is the cloud who hovers over you. It is Christ whom you eat and drink, who is with you every step of the way. Listen to what he says in chapter 10, verse 6. Now these things become our examples to the intent that we should not want things that we shouldn't. And don't become like them who complained. Don't tempt like they tempted on their journey. And he brings all of this to an end in one of his greatest verses. You all know it, chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, verse 13. This is Paul's take-home lesson as he takes you back to Moses and that cloud and that journey. This is his take-home. No testing has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested beyond what you are able, but with the testing will also make a way in which you can bear it, that you may be able to endure. Now, I'm sure just like me, it's not difficult, is it, to think about the Apostle Paul saying to us, no testing that you will ever experience is going to be something that someone has not experienced before. Whatever it is, someone else has known it, gone through it, endured it, and been able to testify to the faithfulness of God. So think of the Hebrews then. They were hungry, they were thirsty, they were weary, but God was faithful and he gave them cloud and fire and food and water that they were able to keep going on their journey. And this is what Paul is saying to us this morning. We can look at the Hebrews and say they went through it, and if they did, so can we. We can look around at each other and say, whatever I'm going through, somebody else has gone through. And above it all and in it all, God remains faithful. Some of you have said to me that you weren't sure whether we should continue with the story of Moses. And I'll admit, I've not been sure either. Sometimes you can stay too long in a particular theme. So I've kind of agonized. Should we really stick with Moses on a Sunday? Should we follow him as he leaves Mount Sinai, as they go through the middle stage of their journey, when they come to Canaan and they send in the 12 spies, do you remember? 10 of them report back that it was too hard to conquer Canaan. 2 says, yes, we can do it. And as a result, for 38 years, they wander the land because they failed to conquer Canaan at that first opportunity. Should we study all this? Is it going to help us on a Sunday morning? The reason why at this point I want to continue to do so with you is because the great story of Numbers is taken by Paul here in verse 13. It's the story of how God is faithful. He's faithful to these Hebrews in spite of all their failures and all their disobedience and their complaining. God remains faithful to them. Even when it comes to that great crisis, when he brings them to the borders of Canaan, that long promised land, promised to Abraham hundreds of years earlier. They come to the borders, and at that crucial moment, they fail. Their faith, their courage fails them. And yet God remains faithful. That's my reason for doing Moses with you on a Sunday. Let's celebrate, let's think together, let's rejoice in the fact that God is faithful and that our courage may fail in the coming weeks. And we may grumble and complain like the Hebrews, even though there's the cloud above our heads, which is the presence of Christ on our journey. We may get tired and our feet may ache like the Hebrews. But through it all, and in spite of it all, we have a God who is faithful. And he will remain faithful to us in Christ. His promises cannot fail, and his presence will be with us. So there's my reason then for looking at Moses with you. It's a celebration of the faithfulness of God. So yes, we're on a journey, aren't we? Like the Hebrews. We too have set off from Mount Sinai. We too, like them, are journeying to Canaan, the land of promise, our heavenly home. As we journey like them, we are covered by the cloud of the presence of Christ. Do you remember Moses on Mount Sinai? He said, God, I'm not leaving this mountain unless you come with us, unless we have your presence. So God said to Moses, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we too, as we journey, we have a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. And we, like the Hebrews, will have terrible moments when our courage, like theirs, will fail. But God remains faithful. So I want us to imagine this then. We're on this journey. Whatever happens, nothing can happen to us that is greater than anyone else has ever faced. No testing will be that which hasn't been faced before. And through it all, God is faithful. So before we finish today, I want you to turn with me back to the book of Numbers. Because what's very important as they set out on this journey is the fact that God speaks to Moses, and in turn Moses speaks to Aaron, and then Aaron turns to bless the nation of Israel. So I want us to end this morning by looking at what's called the Aaronic blessing. Aaron, the priest, Moses' brother, his blessing that he gives to the people of Israel as they set out on their journey. Now, this is the oldest blessing in the Bible. It's one of the oldest blessings in human history. It's a blessing that is still used by Jewish people and Christian people right across the world. So in number 6, we'll look at this blessing to finish. Number 6, verse 24. Let's start at verse 22. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them," and here it is, "the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and the Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and the Lord give you his peace." So Aaron then, we imagine him, before they leave, he speaks these words over the Hebrew people. And these words used to be spoken at night, last thing at night. And it's the image of a parent putting his or her child to bed. So you were there as mum or dad, and your child is in bed. You're about to leave them for the night. You're about to switch off the light. And these are the last words that you say to them. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Now, what we need to realize about this blessing, it's all about the Lord. It's not about the people. It's not about them blessing God. It's about God, the Lord, blessing them. And the word Lord, as you know, is the word for covenant God. It's not the word God, the word E-L-L, that means power and might. It's the word Jehovah, Yahweh, our God, our covenant God, our Heavenly Father, the God who loves us and has saved us. And this blessing then breaks down into three parts. The first, verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. It's the idea of God as Father, protecting his people, keeping them. You get this word keep in the New Testament. It's in Jude, it's in Peter, where they take up this blessing and they apply it to the church. The Lord will look after you. He will protect you. That's the first idea. So the journey then, with all its dangers and perils, is a journey through which the Lord will protect you. Then verse 25. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. This is the second element of the blessing. And it's got this idea of face. Now, some of you will remember that face is very important in the story of Moses. Moses went up to Mount Sinai and he saw God face to face. And then Moses would hide his face. He'd wear a veil when he would come down from Mount Sinai and be among the people. The face of Moses would shine with the presence of God. So here, this blessing then is the Lord will show you his face. That's the idea. And the Lord will always look upon you with grace. So you'll complain and you'll grumble, but the Lord will always deal with you in grace. So what you have then is keeping. The Lord will protect you. The Lord will smile on you. He'll always smile on you. And his smile will be the smile of grace. And then the last element, verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. It's the word shalom, which means well-being. It means blessing. It means the highest achievement that a human can know, blessedness. You've got keeping, smiling, and peace. And this is how the Lord will deal with the Hebrews throughout their journey, as they fail initially and then ultimately come to the land of Canaan. And if we can, let's ask God to help us. We need to see that even when they come to that great crisis moment and they fail to enter Canaan, and that generation now, that generation who fails, all the mums and dads, they're going to die in the wilderness. They'll wander 38 years. Even there, the Lord is keeping, smiling, and giving them peace. Even in their worst failure, the Lord continues to keep and to smile and to bring peace. Even when all around falls apart and people die in the desert. So maybe if God leads us, we'll get to see that. It's not just judgment. It's also peace and smiles and protection. And I want us to end by taking this blessing then and by realizing that this blessing includes us. We're under the cloud of the presence of Christ. And as you and I journey, the Lord will always keep us. He'll always smile upon us in his grace, and the Lord will always give us his peace. Let's close, shall we?